check your weapons at the door. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast that could survive a nuclear holocaust. A day late and many dollars short, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello again. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Lazy podcast for lazy ladies and lazy gentlemen who have to learn about Medicare but don't really want to. We're here to make it a relatively painless and hopefully entertaining process for you. You just heard my nephew, Drew McMillan, introducing this episode. He is with child. Well, he's actually not with child. He is with a woman who is with child and moving into their new house in Barrie, Ontario, as we speak. And I've been told that the house was formerly owned by a hoarder. So I've asked Drew to make a complete inventory of all the items that they find in the house, just in case I can use any of them. I would have a trucking company visit his house, load up, and then somehow try to get across the border. Right now, the Canadian border isn't letting a lot of people go back and forth. But someday this panic will end, and then I'll be able to look through all the hoarded material that Drew and his lovely bride have in their new house and see if I can find something I would like to use. So we're podcasting to the lazy men and lazy ladies that might have to look at Medicare and learn what it's all about. If they were to go buy my book, which is Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020, they would, within an hour or so, understand most of what there is to understand about Medicare. There are some nuances, some legalities, some confusing things that I don't address in my book because they only apply to a very tiny minority of Medicare eligibles. Most of the people who are eligible for Medicare will have a clear understanding of what they need to do. After sitting around with my book, having a couple of drinks, maybe within an hour, maybe less, the transfer of knowledge should be complete, kind of like a Vulcan mind meld. You put the book on your head, go to sleep. When you wake up, that knowledge is residing right inside your brain, maybe like an amoeba. Randy and I discussed an amoeba, brain-eating amoeba one time, and we decided maybe that wasn't the kind of amoeba that we wanted to encourage, but I did know somebody who actually had the amoeba eat his brain, and that was the City of Phoenix treasurer who put his car in. He was driving down the road on Camelback Road and put his car into cruise control, climbed out his window, danced on the hood until the car drifted off the road, hit a palm tree, and sent him flying to his death. And it was all because of a brain-eating amoeba. So Randy remembers that story. Man, he's disgusted by it. I can see by the look on his face. Hello, Randy. I'm sorry to disgust you.
No. I'm not disgusted. I just find it, I don't know, just very difficult to get my head around that someone, even under the attack of a brain-eating amoeba, would think it was a good idea to dance on the top of your car going down Scottsdale Road.
I can't explain it, and I'm not even sure the amoeba could explain it if he were around to ask, but you can research it if you look it up in December, I think early December of 2004. You're going to find the whole description of that accident, and articles that followed were interrogating the wife to find out what she might have had to do with it, and co-workers, has this guy been acting weird? And well, now that you mention it, yeah, he was a little odd in the last few weeks, and we didn't know why. So it was a sad thing, but it's I believe he encountered it while he was vacationing in Mexico with his family. And you had a theory as to how amoebas get into warm, fresh water.
Yes, well, it's absolutely a fact that if the weather is warmer than normal, and it specifically happens in the southwest, south United States more often, but they warm water. There's this brain-eating amoeba who I, you know, obviously I can't pronounce the scientific name of, but they always live in the muck at the bottom of the lake. And when it's warmer than normal, they become a little more active. And the thing that stirs them up is diving. So if you're in a warm water lake down in the Southwest, South United States, don't do any diving because that's what stirs them up. And if you do take some water up the nose, that's how they get into your brain, is through your nasal passages. You're safe everywhere else, but when they go when you get some water up your nose, if it happens to have some brain-eating amoebas in it, you could be in tough shape.
No kidding. Well, I'll tell you, that reminded me of another interesting story I had. A guy I know is a stonemason, and he owns his own stonemason company, but he does all the actual work. So he's a physically active guy. But he was doing a big chimney at a friend's house one time, and the friend noticed he was having some difficulty. So the friend happens to be tapped into the Chicago medical community very nicely. And so he said, "What is wrong?" And the stonemason said, "Well, I believe I'm losing my vision. I thought it was just old age. You know, my arms were too short and frankly having difficulty focusing on my work. And my glasses aren't really helping a whole lot, so I don't know what's going on." And so my friend said, "No, here's the deal. Don't just go to any doctor." He said, "I've got an appointment with an eye doctor, an optometrist." And my friend said, "No, I'm going to set you up with an appointment at the finest ophthalmology practice in downtown Chicago at one of the major hospitals, maybe Northwestern Memorial." And so on the appointed day, victim of the eye problem went downtown, sat in the waiting room. When he was called, he went to an examining room, and a young guy came in, and he's the youngest partner in the practice, and he thoroughly examined the eyes of the stonemason, and he said, "I want you to sit right here. I'm going to go get one of the other partners to take a look at this." And he came in with an older guy, and the older guy looked in his eyes, you know, through the instruments, and said, "I've got to go get so-and-so. He's got more experience with this sort of thing than I do." Well, three partners later, they're talking to a guy who is older than dirt, who founded the practice and knows everything about the human eyeball that there is. And basically what the diagnosis was, that there was a worm inside one of his eyes eating the retina, eating the lining of the retina in the back of the eyeball. Not only was that a problem, but the eye that was not yet affected was probably going to be affected with another worm, because this worm was probably going to lay eggs that would travel through the bloodstream into the other, the unaffected eye. So this led to all kinds of, like, what do we do? What do we do? One of the things they did was they took pictures and sent all this information electronically to Mexico, in the area where he had vacationed with his family and swam in ponds or creeks or something. And the Mexicans came, no, it was Central America. And they came back and said, "This is not one of our worms." So he didn't pick it up on vacation. Big mystery. Somehow they managed to kill the worm, have it removed from the eye without having to cut anything open, without having to do surgery. And the part of the eye that the worm was eating started to regenerate itself. And this guy tells me today, when I see him every couple of years, that his vision has returned to normal, and that everything is fine. And of course, he credits my friend with the connections in the medical industry. However, the only theory that seems to hold any water about how this worm came to live in his eyeball was that he was tearing down a chimney in order to rebuild it, and there was poop, animal poop, bird poop, raccoon poop, or something like that, that managed to convey the worm from the poop into his eye, or into his bloodstream, and then the worm landed in his eye, and that's where it seemed to enjoy living. So that was how that came to be, and it's still the scariest story I've ever think, because I don't like to think about a worm eating the retina of my eyeball, either eyeball. And Randy,
either one. I don't know whether you would or would not enjoy watching this show called Monsters Within Me.
Doesn't sound and like it.
It's those types of situations where, you know, you've got a brain-eating amoeba or the worms are eating your eyes or something to that effect, but almost without exception. Now, I will say the exception is the brain-eating amoebas can be gotten in the United States, but the other parasite types of things that go on, typically in South America, typically somewhere else besides here.
Yeah,
so
I
am never going to touch a warm water lake in South Texas ever.
And every morning when I get up, I kneel down next to my bed and I say, thank you, Lord, for chlorine. Because yes. Without chlorine, what kind of weird diseases would we have running rampant through the human race?
Oh, I know. It's crazy. So guess what we probably should do?
Yes, we should. And today we're dipping into the MLM mailbag. You can be a participant in a mailbag item if you will send us your thoughts, your dreams, your aspirations, your love notes, or your questions, which is much more likely, to dbj@mlmmailbag.com. So I reached into the mailbag quite some time ago because there's an ongoing saga of a woman in Wisconsin. And I thought maybe I would share with the readers the saga that this woman is going through. Her husband is about to retire from one of these big, big Wisconsin manufacturing companies. And I can't remember. She probably told me early on, but I've got my stack of correspondence. It's about an inch thick. And frankly, it's like Briggs and Stratton or one of these companies. So as a retiree or a soon-to-be retiree, she is helping her husband make the proper choices for their Medicare supplement coverage because they're leaving the group plan, the employer medical plan, and retiring. And they're going to, because the husband is over age 65, they're going to have Medicare coverage. And she didn't know anything about Medicare. She read my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020, and she said some very complimentary things. And if I have my wits about me, I will read them so that you may bask in the glory that I was basking in. But she also has a meeting with the brokerage firm that her company has hired to advise retirees. Now, the company wants them to deal with this firm. And the firm is a very reputable one. It's Aon, A-O-N, founded by W. Clement Stone and Pat Ryan back in the 80s. It's a huge advisory firm, but basically they meet with all the retirees of this company to offer them all the options. Now, it's kind of weird because my book does not apply directly to the Wisconsin Medicare supplement plans that are available. In Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Massachusetts, the federal government's plans do not apply. Those three states somehow got waivers and created their own Medicare supplement plan. Now, Wisconsin, according to my research, has a plan that contains basic benefits, and then in addition to the basic benefits include inpatient hospital care, any coinsurance for inpatient hospital days that might occur if you're in the hospital more than 60 days, the Part B coinsurance, which is generally 20% of the Medicare approved amount for the treatment that you get, the first 3 pints of blood, and hospice coinsurance or copayment. So that's what a Wisconsin person who is eligible for Medicare starts with. Those are the basic benefits. Then they have some optional stuff that they can add onto that plan if they want to. They can add a skilled nursing facility coinsurance rider that will pay for that coinsurance that they would have to pay out of their own pockets if they were in a skilled nursing facility longer than 20 days. They have a rider that would add 175 days per lifetime of hospital mental health coverage, a 40 home health care visits rider, right now. I don't know if there are any home health care visits included in the basic benefits. It didn't seem like it. And then some other state mandated benefits. And then there was a blurb in this description that says a high deductible plan with a $2,340 deductible is also available. Well, that caught my attention. That is the plan that is very much what I recommend to healthy people who are not destitute. A plan that offers a deductible like that is never going to be a front-end deductible. Medicare is always going to pay its share. It just means that you're going to pay a little bit here and a little bit there in order to enjoy a really, really, really low monthly premium. And I'm talking about probably below $50 for a 65-year-old. But I don't know for sure because I don't have the numbers in front of me. So this woman has to go to a meeting that's going to be held by the brokers approved by her husband's ex-employer. And they get a $4,100 credit. And so my most recent message from this woman is, Doug, I wish you could be my agent, but in order to get the $4,100 account benefit for retirees to use for expenses, I have to go through the brokerage firm Aon. So she sent me six double pages showing me what I thought it was what they were recommending for her. And I had some complaints and I said, I don't think these plans are what you're going to be interested in. And then she told me, I haven't had the meeting yet, dummy. She said, I have just poked around on their website and I pulled down random plan. So what she gave me from the website was basically three different drug plans and three different Medicare supplement plans. Now, the drug plans, I was really perturbed about until I found out she didn't have her meeting because I thought, did you give your prescription information and your husband's prescription list to these brokers? Did they go on the website that I use to select the least expensive drug plan for you? I don't think so. I think they've cut a deal with three different companies and they say, here are the three drug plans we can offer you. Pick one. And as you might have remembered from our last episode, the same drug plan owned by the same person taking the same amount of drugs can cost a grand total of $87 at one store or $2,300 at a different store. So there is no such thing as a one-size-fits-all Medicare Part D drug plan. So I was perturbed about the fact that they had these three drug plans until I found out from her that she hadn't really had the meeting yet. So I'm helping her compile questions. One of those questions would be, how can I have our drugs listed and given to somebody to check the appropriateness of the drug plan that you offer me every year, next year, the following year, the year after that? Because if that drug plan changes, then I'm going to be paying a lot more money than I should be paying. So that's one of the questions. And she dutifully wrote that down, I'm sure. And then she sent me three possible Medicare supplement plans. And these are available in Wisconsin. It's the basic benefits that I listed. Plus, each of these plans adds an optional Part A deductible rider. The Part A deductible this year is $1,004. So if you get thrown into a hospital, the first $1,004 you pay. Everything after that for the first 60 days is paid by Medicare, I think at 100%. And then after that, they have a daily coinsurance factor, or a copay for each day that you're in the hospital after that. So in Wisconsin, you can buy a rider that covers that Part A deductible. We all know the Part B deductible is $198 this year. So in Wisconsin, you can add the Part B deductible rider to your plan. So that plan would cost $218 a month for them. Then if they added the home health care visits, which were, I think, 40 visits, that adds about $4 a month to the cost of their monthly premium. And then if they drop that, but they add coverage for the Part B excess medical charges, then that adds about $10 a month. So there are all kinds of options in Wisconsin, but they do not conform to the plans, the Medicare supplement plans that the rest of us in the other 47 states have. And so this woman, not having had the meeting yet, but having discussed it with me, has a whole bunch of questions to ask the broker. And I'm guessing that that broker is going to be scratching his head saying, where did this woman get all this Medicare knowledge? Well, it came from the response she got when she wrote to dbj@mlmmailbag.com. And if there's an exciting conclusion to this story after the meeting has occurred, I will bring you up to date with her her latest adventures. So, typical of the American couple, the husband goes to work and the wife does all the thinking, because it's the wife yes. making these choices.
Yes. Well, and as it should be.
Yeah, right.
Honey, I need to get a Medicare plan. Go do that, would you? It's kind of like, what is that show that, Star Trek, wasn't it? Make It So?
Make It So. Absolutely. Make It So, number one.
Yes. I love that expression.
They kind of stole that from the British Navy. They didn't have that kind of thing in the original Star Trek. Although Alexander Graham Bell, who invented the telephone, envisioned us answering our phone calls with the word ahoy.
Ahoy.
Yes, that was his plan. Not hello. Ahoy.
So why were we going to say, is this, you know, we were all on a nautical theme when we invented the phone, or what happened here?
You know, it was 150 years ago. Who knows what was going through their minds back then, but it was not to be, unfortunately. Now, I don't suppose Alexander Graham Bell, he was a teacher of the deaf. I don't know if he was deaf or not. I don't think so, but he was a teacher of the deaf. Maybe he thought it would be easier for deaf people to learn that term. I don't know. Speculation.
Next time someone calls the Medicare for the Lazy Man switchboard, I'm going to try that. Ahoy there.
Yes, and see if they respond. They might just slam the phone down and this guy said ahoy to me.
Ahoy. You know, the guy, they're nuts. They're nuts over there. Stay away from them.
Yeah, and if it's a snowflake, they're going to think it's a personal insult.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. Nobody has a sense of humor anymore. What happened?
I still do. I've got plenty of sense of humor.
So. Yeah, I kid you not. You know, everybody's looking for some reason to be upset, bent out of shape, their shorts twisted in a knot, you know, something. Yeah. I don't know, man.
That's a sad state of affairs. So how are we looking time-wise?
We're out.
Well, let me give you one Chuck Norris observation.
Okay, cool.
He's the toughest man in America, as you know. Chuck Norris is. And he perfected the roundhouse kick, and that's what he's famous for. He used to watch that in slow motion during Walker, Texas Ranger. There'd be one of those every episode. But if Chuck Norris were to travel to an alternate dimension in which there was another Chuck Norris, and they both fought, they would both win. So that's an observation about Chuck Norris. If he fought himself in an alternate dimension, he and his alter ego would both win. Which reminds me of what Henry Kissinger said back in the 80s when Saddam Hussein was attacking Iran. And they were sending the flower of Islam out into the Iranian fields to do battle. And the death toll was horrendous. And somebody asked, what's his name? I just said his name a second ago, the German advisor, technical advisor, or security advisor. They asked him why we were supporting Saddam Hussein, why we didn't support the mullahs in Iran, who are also a bunch of evil ne'er-do-wells. And he said, listen, if there was a way to make both Saddam and the mullahs lose, we would do that. But we can't figure it out. So we're picking the guy who is most likely to do the most damage and keep them both busy for as long as possible. Henry Kissinger, that's who I was
thinking. Henry, actually, that dropped out of Henry's mouth. I can't believe that.
Well, he wanted to show that we were not necessarily in favor of the evil Saddam Hussein.
Yes.
But if you compared him to the evil mullahs, you know, we had to pick one, and we picked Saddam Hussein.
Well, given we brought up the topic of Star Trek, one of these episodes I'll have to explain to you all the various potential explanations for that we're living in a parallel universe with another one, just like your Chuck Norris concept. It's way too lengthy to explain today, but once I get through it, you're going to believe that it's a possibility.
Well, if you can tie that to Medicare, I'm going to go for it. I'll sit here quietly and listen for hours.
Well, there's probably Medicare supplements in a parallel universe.
I don't know. They have those little twirly doodads that diagnose and fix anything that's wrong with you.
But, yeah,
all right. Well,
exactly.
That'll be food for thought for another episode coming down the pike.
Yeah. Well, thanks, everybody. We have run out of steam. Thanks, everybody, for joining us again for the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. But what do y'all need to do? Y'all need to go to Amazon.com, get yourself a book, get several if you haven't got one of Doug's books, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. Buy it in any shape, form, or concept that it comes in. It'll be well worth the money. And pass it out to your relatives for the holidays because they will be very thankful you did.
It's a great gift for kids of all ages.
I know.
Kids of over 65 and maybe even kids under 65. And also go to our fun website, MedicareForTheLazyMan.com. There's all kinds of stuff about Medicare there that you can enjoy or not as you see fit. And if you'd like to know what Medicare supplement plans are recommended for you, find your state on the map, click on it, and answer a few simple questions, and we can tell you what Medicare supplements you might want to consider purchasing when you turn 65 or when you leave your job.
So we are hoping that you'll have a great rest of your day. We're going to try the same, and we'll see you next time around the metaphorical coffee table with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma and sole proprietor of MedicareForTheLazyMan.com.
Goodbye.